Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard in central and western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. A safety issue with the airflow systems inside the Long Island Railroad's new Grand Central Madison Station is the key obstacle in the way of bringing Eastside Access over the finish line, and MTA officials say they will not open the new facility until it is resolved. Alfonso A. Castillo reports on Newsday.com that Metropolitan Transportation Authority officials yesterday updated the public on its progress on the $11.1 billion megaproject, which they long promised would be complete by the end of 2022. At a meeting of the MTA Board's Commuter Railroad Committee, Jamie Torres Springer, president of Construction and Development, said the agency remains confident about opening service this year and that Grand Central Madison is, for all intents and purposes, a fully functional facility that already includes a working fire alarm system, elevators, and escalators. But the MTA still has not chosen an opening date because complex and difficult systems testing and commissioning is still underway, Torres Springer said. The major issue to be resolved involves testing an airflow system to make sure it can quickly move air throughout the new 700,000-square-foot station in the event of a smoke condition. Eastside Access has been in various planning stages for six decades and began construction in 2007. The project, which aims to link the LIRR to Grand Central Terminal and reduce travel times for some commuters, was once projected to be finished by 2009 at a cost of $4.3 billion. The town of Riverhead is close to completing a $20 million property purchase for a new town hall location that would give both town hall and the town's justice court much-needed operational space. Jean-Paul Salamanca reports on Newsday.com that Riverhead is expected to transition into a new town hall within a year after town officials recently announced the town is in contract with Peconic Bay Medical Center Foundation to acquire the 4.2-acre Robert Entenmann campus property on West 2nd Street in downtown Riverhead. The town of Riverhead expects to close by the second week of January on the property deal, according to Riverhead supervisor Yvette Aguiar. The property has one 36,000-square-foot three-story building and two two-story buildings, which Aguiar said are in exceptional condition, and will also have 200 parking spaces that are expected to help create more parking options downtown. The main building will have a meeting room for town meetings and expanded space for multiple town departments. This has been in the making for 20 years, Aguiar told Newsday on Monday, adding, these are long-term planning initiatives, not only to address present needs, but also for future needs in Riverhead. Restoration of the historic Perkins Carriage House, known as the Yellow Barn, at Riverhead Free Library will be getting a $25,000 boost in state funding secured by New York State Assembly member Jody Giglio. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that Giglio has earmarked the funding for the town-designated landmark, which the library has been working to renovate and restore inside and out. The Yellow Barn opens seasonally as a bookstore operated by Friends of the Library, an all-volunteer organization that raises money to support Riverhead Free Library. Proceeds from the sales of gently used books, most offered for no more than $1, are donated to the library. The Yellow Barn was built in 1873 as a carriage house on the homestead property of John R. Perkins. This past Sunday morning, members of the Atlantic Marine Conservation Society picked up 20 banana boxes from Francis S. Gabreski Airport in West Hampton and transported them across the street to their facility. When they lifted the lids, they didn't find bunches of yellow fruit. Michelle Trowering reports on 27East.com that instead, the containers were home to 20 cold-stunned Kemp's Ridley sea turtles, rescued from the banks of Cape Cod and shipped to the East End for triage, where they are now on the road to recovery, swimming around the critical care hospital tanks at AMCES in West Hampton, according to founder and chief scientist Rob DiGiovanni. This particular group, which belongs to the smallest and most endangered species of sea turtles in the world, was stranded throughout the Cape Cod region on November 22nd, which falls within cold stun season. In the summer and early fall, the turtles commonly enter bays and coastal waters in the northeast and off the mid-Atlantic, but some appear to stay too long. And when the water temperatures drop below 50 degrees Fahrenheit, cold-blooded turtles that haven't made their way south to warmer waters become hypothermic or cold-stunned. This is the time of year, for the next couple of weeks, that we can actually see these animals on the beach, DiGiovanni said. If you think they're on the beach, and even if you think they're dead, just please call them in so that we can get out and see what we need to do. DiGiovanni emphasized that turtle rescue is a group effort, and it starts with the public. In New York, report all stranded marine mammals and sea turtles to the New York Standing Hotline by calling them at their phone number. The federal government said yesterday it would back mortgages of more than $1 million for the first time in 2023 in high-cost areas of the U.S., including Long Island. Jonathan LaMattia reports on Newsday.com that the Federal Housing Finance Agency announced its adjustment to the conforming loan limit, which is the highest amount lenders can give to borrowers and still qualify to have those loans purchased by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac on the secondary market. Borrowers whose loans qualify as conforming loans can get better interest rates, and lenders are able to more easily sell their loans because they meet the standards of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. Lenders can underwrite non-conforming or jumbo mortgages above those limits, but they can't be purchased by those government-sponsored entities. The Federal Housing Finance Agency increased the conforming loan limit for single-family homes by $79,000 to $726,200 for most areas in the U.S. for 2023. The ceiling will become $1,089,300, an increase of $118,000 and more in Long Island and the greater New York City metro area. New federal infrastructure funding of $2.25 million will target outdated septic systems on Long Island, Governor Kathy Hochul and the Long Island Sound Study announced this week. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that the funding is the first installment in an anticipated $8 million from the federal bipartisan infrastructure law over 5 years to help support state and locally driven water quality improvements, according to the governor's office. The funding will provide financial assistance to homeowners for the replacement of cesspools with advanced septic systems that remove nitrogen from household septic wastes. The New York State Cannabis Control Board approved its first round of retail dispensary licenses last week. Kitty Merrill reports on 27East.com that some 28 licenses for business owners with a cannabis conviction or a family member with a cannabis conviction, along with 8 nonprofit organizations, got the green light initially. And while the 7 Long Island licenses all went to business people based up island, 3 in western Suffolk, that doesn't mean that there won't be cannabis retail establishments in the town of Southampton. According to Aaron Gittleman, the Deputy Director of Communications for the Office of Cannabis Management, quote, a licensee does not have to operate in the municipality they live in. We expect these initial stores to be placed all across Long Island in commercial real estate locations chosen to maximize potential revenue for each store. The first licenses approved are known as Conditional Adult Use Retail Dispensary, or CORD licenses. The Office of Cannabis Management will work with the Dormitory Authority of the State of New York as they build out locations in municipalities that did not opt out of cannabis sales on Long Island. According to its website, Dormitory Authority of the State of New York, DASNY, provides construction, financing, and allied services which serve the public good of New York State. Municipalities in New York State had until the end of 2021 to opt out of allowing retail marijuana sales in their jurisdictions. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.